Hello.
Yeah. Hello and welcome. You guys have found yourselves to one of the great little oases in the Great American Beer Festival, the Beer and Food Pavilion. I'd like to welcome our two speakers for our first session, Christopher McCoy and Pedro / Pete Crowley. They're from Haymarket Pub and Brewery. Thanks for being here, guys. Next time you're in Chicago, definitely a must check out. They're going to talk to us a little bit about one of life's great pleasures, pairing beer and hot dogs. Without further ado, I'll pass it over to those guys.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome. I'm Pete Crowley, owner and brewmaster of Haymarket Pub and Brewery in Chicago. We've been open about 4 years. I have been in the brewing industry. This is my 20th Great American Beer Festival. 20 years of drinking beer.
Cheers.
And it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for the beer consumer, so cheers to you all out there. Haymarket is it's a neat little pub. It really focuses on small batch, high-quality beers with small batch, high-quality food. We are an all-scratch kitchen. We really enjoy the slow food movement, the process of making all of our own sausages, brining all of our own pastrami's and corned beef, making our own pickles. So we really are about the same care goes into our beer and our food. I want to introduce Chef McCoy and have him talk a little bit about himself, and then we're going to get into the presentation.
Thank you, Peter. I'm Christopher McCoy. Like you said, about 3 years ago, Pete and I got together and started making a menu for his restaurant brewery. We decided to go old world style sausages. We went with fresh into dry cured and then into this crazy idea of emulsified sausages like the hot dog, which is a pain in the ass, by the way. But if I give you some pointers, it might work out for you. So today we're going to talk to you a little bit about the difference between the New York style, the Chicago, a little bit about the history and why it means so much to us and America. Take it away.
So I actually was born in New York and now I live in Chicago, so this is near and dear to my heart.
I still call it BS.
Yes. So they're very different toppings, but the base is going to be the same. So we're going to talk a little bit about the toppings, why New York, why Chicago. And then we also have two beers. So I'm going to talk about the beer for a second. Really, it was the Europeans that came over, the immigrants settling New York City, moving west into Chicago, brought with them a brewing technique, a brewing style, but also a style of utilizing meat. The hot dog was the first processed food. It was easy to eat, easy to transport. It had longer shelf life. So there was a necessity behind taking the meat, making it age better, able to travel. But then that brewing technique, the lagers, the traditional German ales. So we brought two beers to go with the hot dogs. One is our traditional German-style Pilsner that we're pairing with the New York dog. The German-style Pils is as it should be, because back in the day it was actually pretty hoppy, very crisp, nice hop bitterness. I think they, throughout the most recent history, got a little dumbed down, a little less hoppy. So with the craft brewing movement, we're getting back to a nice hoppy Pilsner. My favorite one that was available was Victory Prima Pils that I fell in love with. So our Pilsner is modeled a little bit after Victory Prima Pils, a lot of hops. And then with the Chicago-style dog, we thought it October 4th coming up is Chicago's birthday, and with the Chicago Fire, kind of a big part of its history, we brewed a smoked Helles. So the second beer is almost the exact same recipe, except it's 30% smoked malt from Bamberg, Germany. And it's also dry hopped with Mandarina Bavaria, which is a German-style aroma hop. to give it just a little touch of citrus, kind of unique. And then they're going to go with our two dogs, and Chef's going to talk about what is on top of the two hot dogs.
All right, respectively, from your left to your right, like you said, the Pilsner and the Smoked Helles. We paired the Pilsner with the New York-style hot dog. Traditionally, when you go to New York, you're going to find, it depends on which region of New York, but you're going to either find grilled onions and mustard or sauerkraut and mustard. This is a sauerkraut that we make at our restaurant. It takes about 50 days. It ferments. That's where that funkiness comes from. But we also make our spicy mustard on a poppy seed bun with our hot dog that we make. On your right is the Chicago-style hot dog. We usually take foods from New York and make them better. And just add a ton of ingredients. So that's why we have the bluish-greenish relish. Don't even ask me about that. But that's traditional in Chicago. We have our house-made pickles, spicy mustard, tomato, onions, poppy seed, brioche hot dog bun, and our smoked house-made hot dogs. A little heat on top, which is a sport pepper, which I don't know if you know outside of Chicago, but it's a little green pepper that's pickled that takes away some of the heat. Still has it, still holds it a little bit, but has that acidity to kind of cut through all that fat. Pete, you want to give us your little philosophy about what the Chicago-style hot dog represents and why no one puts ketchup on their hot dog in Chicago?
You don't put ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago. You don't. I was at a White Sox game a couple years ago, and my brewer, Steve Mosqueda, witnessed a woman putting ketchup on her hot dog. He's right here, guy in the fedora. And he heckled her so badly that the entire section at U.S. Cellular Field was yelling at her about ketchup. And she left. And everyone applauded Steve for pointing out that you don't put ketchup on a hot dog. So my theory is, and this is not proven, I don't have any historical facts to give you, but my theory is there already is ketchup on a Chicago-style hot dog. All of the ingredients that are on top of that hot dog, if you blend them up, it's ketchup. You've got all the spices, celery salt, pickles, tomatoes, onion. So it's kind of like deconstructed ketchup. So that's my theory. You may take that home with you and tell everyone that deconstructed ketchup is how you eat a hot dog. Couple of things. The first hot dog, potentially the first major experience of hot dogs, was actually in Chicago at the Columbia Exposition. It's very popular. But there is some theory on where bread came into play. Do you want to talk about the bread in St. Louis?
Well, like I said, there's an explosion of old world sausages again, but back in the day, that's all people would eat. The immigrants coming over, because that's what America is all about. Immigrants coming over, the melting pot of everything, and introducing their own flavors, their own styles from their individual regions. So sausages were the type of food that they ate back in the day, back in 1893. It's kind of funny to imagine, but all of these little push carts with people just slanging hot dogs or sausages around and with nothing to hand it over in. They didn't have paper plates back then. They just handed it over. One guy had an idea. He's like, oh, just give him the white glove. I'll just give him a white glove. And he just realized that this is not ideal monetarily. I don't get these white gloves back. So he talked to his brother, who was a baker. And he said, "Hey, can you figure this out for me? Can you make something for me?" And they invented the hot dog bun. It's as simple as that. But that's why we love the hot dog so much. It's simple. It can be so simple. We know the hot dog as this emulsified, pink slime, horrible ingredient that we grew up on when we were children. That we like to go back to every once in a while to remind us of comfort foods. But nowadays, we have it at our hands where we can make it the right way with the right ingredients if you do it the right way. So that's why we love it. It represents America so well.
Just to go back a little bit about the actual hot dog itself, talk about the process of creating this delicious encased meat. Chef is very, it's important to Chef to know where his food comes from. He wants to know who grows the food, who works on the farms. He's actually been to the farm that we get our meat from. So you want to talk about that just for a quick second?
Sure. How many of you are home cooks? Raise the hands. Okay, majority. Chefs? Home cooks, do you guys have your hands? Do you have your hands at a butcher? Do you have an opportunity to do a butcher? That's the key right there. You need to talk to your butcher. And it's always intimidating to go to the guy that actually, where the source is. But talk to those guys. They love to talk about their protein. They love to talk about where it's coming in and from. And that's where you should get some of your product, especially casings. We use a collagen casing, which is a natural casing, but it's processedly made from fibrous proteins from animals. But that's beyond what we're talking about right now. Sheep casings is what you need to ask for when you go to your local butcher. But talk to them, engage with them. They'll disclose everything. They love to talk. You might actually be sorry after you ask them because they'll just keep talking and talking. But yeah, we have a local farmer that we work with back in Chicago. It's about 2 hours south from us. Just went there last year and walked around his grounds, and his livestock is beautiful. It's all free ranged, and he showed us. He wasn't afraid to show us where it was all coming from. But those are the questions that you need to ask. Even if you don't have a butcher, go to your local Whole Foods or I don't know what you guys have out here, but talk to the people that are cutting that meat. They're all cutting it from one source, and you need to talk to them, engage, and find out where that ingredient is coming from.
And the cool thing about having a relationship with your butcher or your local farmer is, I mean, they actually have great ideas on how you can utilize their products, and they're willing to work with you because they want you to enjoy, you know, their labor, their love is providing us with delicious meats. I would definitely remind them that backing up the truck in front of the restaurant while it's full on a Friday lunch, when there's a bunch of dead pigs hanging in the back of the truck, and you can't walk in the restaurant with the dead pig over your shoulder, people kind of start getting a little weird. But besides that, knowing your butcher, knowing your grower is super important.
I'm sorry, that's coming from a story when our farm is Slagle Farms. They literally, in our loading zone up front, where we had five tables set up in front of the windows, and it was actually lunchtime, so you know, we had people coming in from work. They're having our pulled pork sandwich, and this truck backs in to the loading zone, opens up the back door, and there's hogs just hanging inside the truck, and Pete and I are looking like, oh God, this can't be good. Like, we all know where it comes from. We all kind of understand that idea, but when you look at it, it's not something that you want to see when you're eating. And that's where he's coming from. I have this recipe for this hot dog, and I hope everybody's enjoying, by the way. Our volunteers are doing great by getting it out as quickly as possible. There's obviously a time and temperature problem that we have to deal with, but I hope everybody's enjoying. Is everybody enjoying? Cool. I'm not going to sit back and tell you a recipe because no one's going to remember it. But you want to come up, talk to me, get my email. I'll shoot out that recipe to you guys, and I'll converse with you guys that way. But there's four things you need to remember when you're gonna make your own hot dog at home, and it's possible. It took me only a year to actually figure it out to actually where I wanted to put it on the menu. But if you take these four aspects involved into the ingredients or into the recipe, you'll be okay. It's got to be smoked, right? Obviously, there's gonna be protein involved. I use beef brisket and then pork fat. But smoked, there's got to be some type of curing salt involved. I don't care about all those people that say you don't need curing salt or you just use celery seed, because that does the same thing. It has the same nitrates and nitrates. When they say it's not cured, it's still cured. They're just using celery salt. So curing salt, and then it's got to rest. Before you cook it, it's got to sit for at least 1 day. 2 days preferably. In that process, when the curing salts are mixing with the sugars, the fats, and the milk powders, they're actually bringing a certain myosin out of the muscle. It's a certain protein that helps bind it back together when you do the fourth aspect, which is emulsifying. You got to emulsify it. You grind it just like any other sausage, and then you got to emulsify it in your food processor. While you're doing that, you got to deal with certain temperatures. You got to deal with 48 to 51. Like I said, there's a lot of things going on here. That's why I want to email you guys if you guys want, if you guys are actually interested. And then cook it slow and low. But there's four main things: smoke it, curing salt, let it rest for a couple of days, 1 day, at least 24 hours, and then cook it slow and low. You can't just hurry it up. You can't hurry up the process. You just got to let it do its thing. Cook it at like 175 degrees for about 4 hours. And there's another scientific process that goes on in that evolution before it turns into that red hot hot dog.
So if you want our recipe for our house-made hot dogs, we're more than happy to give it to you. You guys just come up, grab Chef's email before you guys leave. He'll lay it out for you. It's actually a lot more difficult than it looks to make a hot dog. I was very shocked through all of our research and all of our years.
It took 1 year, man.
It took a year.
I was tired.
I wanted to point out one thing we didn't point out. We did point out we make the sauerkraut ourselves. We brought that out with us. We make the hot dogs. We made the pickles were made by us as well. The mustard was actually made by us from scratch. Chef came up with this recipe where we roast mustard seeds in our pizza oven, and we grind them up with stout, and as it sits, it gets hotter and more delicious. So we have our own mustard recipe as well. If you guys would like that, we can offer that to you as well. But at this point, I think we're pretty much wrapping up. If there's any questions, we're more than happy to answer them. Hopefully you enjoyed the Pilsner, the Smoked Helles, and the dogs, doggy dogs. If there's no questions, it is my 20th JBF, and there's something that we do every single year that I'm here. Who knows the song? Ein Prosit, ein Prosit, ergemütlich. Ein Prosit. Eins, zwei, drei, super! Zigzag, zigzag! Zigzag, zigzag! Zigzag, zigzag! All right, any questions? All right. Have a great GABF, everybody!
Thanks so much to Pete and Christopher. Thanks, guys.